You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome to episode 1 in the weeds, where we look at weed and vegetation management across Tamaki Makaurau. This episode is proudly brought to you by 95BFM for the love of bees, and very kindly by Michael Leck Gallery. This week our focus is glyphosates and weed management in Aotearoa. So we start right at the basics with what is a weed.
Surprisingly, a weed, or the concept of weeds, can actually be quite an emotive term for a number of people. The standard definition we've had for a number of years, or the simplest one at least, has been a plant growing where it's not wanted. But I've been making an argument over a number of years now that this really isn't a high enough threshold. Considering all the environmental challenges we've got, it's kind of it's a bit limp, if you like, just not wanted. And so I've been suggesting that we really need to up the ante here and say a weed is a plant that's causing real and actual harm. And that actual real and actual harm can take a number of forms in farming. It can be economic in the lived environment. It can be plants that are hazardous, for example. So to me, the weed is also not a scientific concept. A lot of people think weeds are a scientific thing. They're not. They're completely a value judgment. And that's the kind of the not wanted bit. It's a value judgment, an ethical decision by someone somewhere that they don't want a particular plant. And by making that decision, a plant effectively is turned into a weed. And it's therefore something that they want to manage or kill or get rid of. To me, the key thing is when we jump from the not wanted level up to the real and actual harm, we need to really specify very carefully what the real and actual harm this plant is doing to warrant changing it from just a plant that's minding its own business into a weed and something that we need to therefore take some form of action against. And certainly in New Zealand, I think there has been almost a fetish, if you like, about calling plants weeds and controlling them when they're actually doing no harm at all. Compared to countries across Europe, for example, the amount of weed / vegetation control going on here is just absolutely astonishing. In Europe, some of the activities that are requirements of policy in New Zealand are actually illegal in Europe. Such is the gulf and such is the level of difference here in New Zealand around what is considered acceptable, particularly in an urban environment, in terms of plants growing where they aren't wanted.
We established there what a weed is and the idea of managing weeds. Hannah, I'm going to turn to you on this one. What is the current situation or policy in Tamaki Makaurau regarding to the management of vegetation or what we like to label as weeds?
Well, you've hit the nail on the head there, because in reality, the weed management policy that has been adopted twice is actually a vegetation management policy. And so many people are confused. They think it's only to do with weeds, it's only to do with pest weeds. And in fact, what it is to do with is the control of vegetation. And that's in the public areas, on the roadways and the streets, because that is where the vast majority of chemicals, and particularly in this case, glyphosate, is currently used to control that vegetation. So since way back 30 odd years ago, all of the protests, all of the work that's been done by thousands and thousands of Aucklanders over the years has been to do with that spraying on vegetation control on the roadsides. But unfortunately, what has happened here currently, although we have a really strong weed management policy, which is actually a weed and vegetation control policy, the only part of that policy which has been implemented, or they're trying to implement, is weeds. And there's a huge list hundreds of different weeds, and they've worked out what different policies should be used to deal with them. In reality, in the public spaces, on the hard shoulders, vegetation and weeds are managed for the sole purpose of protecting the assets, the roadways and the pavements, and to ensure that it's safe for cars to go on the roads. So we've ended up with the situation where we're dealing with weeds, but in reality, it's supposed to be vegetation.
You mentioned there that the purpose of the control policies are to protect assets. Would you say protecting assets is the key priority of our current weed or vegetation management plan in Tamaki Makaurau?
No. It's quite interesting, actually, because the final paragraph, the 2013 policy that was adopted, that is currently supposed to be implemented right now, and we'll talk about that later, the final paragraph of the vision statement that was adopted in 2013 for the weed management policy, and I will read it because I think it's relevant. To achieve the vision of reducing the adverse effects of weed management and vegetation control, this policy promotes the concept of best practice. Best practice weed management takes an integrated approach to the control of weeds and vegetation and uses methods that have the least potential to adversely affect human health and the environment while achieving the desired outcome. So you can see from that that it's to do with the adverse effects of dealing with weeds and vegetation control and the human health effect, which has actually been completely subsumed into this, which chemicals do we use for which weeds and how do we put them on? Whereas in reality, the human health problem of the current treatment of vegetation control in the road corridors and on streets is the prime concern of absolutely every person you talk to.
Moving from the now to a little bit in the past, would anyone like to discuss the history of weed management and perhaps weed management innovation, both within Aotearoa, New Zealand, and Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland?
I was going to take a slightly longer perspective there, so the chemical herbicides have only been used and been since their discovery since about the 1950s. So we've had 1,000 years of agriculture and 70 odd years of herbicides. So we have a very, very long history of agriculture and urban weed management without herbicides. One of the things the herbicides did with their advent is they made controlling vegetation that previously was difficult to manage or control without chemicals, made it very easy. So one of the great ironies of herbicides is they actually created a very large number of weeds because they made the difficult easy, and because something was easy, people did it. To me, a key lesson from the kind of history of agriculture and herbicides is we need to undefine a whole load of plants as being weeds and simply just let them be and carry on doing what they're doing, fixing carbon from the atmosphere and putting it into the soil, a very important biological ecological function. So to me, a key part of this is actually saying stop using the herbicides and change our mindset. So a large part of this to me is a mindset issue.
With regards to Tamaki Makaurau, because here we were probably, and I can probably be disabused on this, that in fact Auckland was the first city in the world, because at that time it was Auckland City, which was made up of a number of boroughs, the first city in the world to go non-chemical on its roadways. Because when the first thing started, it was simply to do with the health, and particularly on places like Waiheke Island, which is basically rural, the use of pesticides and herbicides on the roadways were impacting on people's lives, the water collection from the roofs, going onto the vineyards, going into people's gardens. So in fact, what Charles said earlier is that yes, that's what was used all over the city, chemical herbicide. And in fact, it was round about 30 years ago that the first occasion when the first lumbering hot water technology was brought into the city, and on the North Shore city, they brought in a flame weeder. They're all looking for solutions to how we could deal with it without herbicides. And the fascinating story that arises from that, because we have documented, you know, the rise and fall of herbicides in the city. But when the hot water machines were first introduced and everybody thought, oh, fantastic, and all these boroughs then took up the use of hot water instead of herbicides, the next round, the next budget round, the next tenders, the contractor, who was the main contractor, came back in with a tender to do everything with herbicides, and the price was reduced dramatically, such that it made hot water 40-50% more expensive. So the reality is we were paying a lot of money for herbicides, and that when they were under threat they lowered their prices, and there's been that battle has been going on ever since, because the hot water technology, and in the last 5 years, has all come along. But the reality is that for 30 years, there has been hot water technology use in Auckland. It is people that have led this, and people from the ground up. And if anybody reads our history and timeline of the use of chemicals in Auckland, they will see that. Because the first toxins action group actually occurred, the formation of this throughout New Zealand occurred here in North Auckland. So what happened is that up until the super city happened, which was in 2010, the force of the numbers of people and the numbers of petitions had completely convinced both the legacy Auckland city and the legacy North Shore city to go completely non-chemical. So there was a mixture of methodologies. You had hot water on the North Shore, and in most of the Auckland city, it ended up with the use of fatty acids and mechanical. But with the advent of the super city and all the other outer boroughs all being brought in, there was a lot of people who realized that the super city would want to harmonize policy throughout the region, because they didn't want to have one borough doing one thing and another doing whatever. So that's when we formed the Weed Management Advisory. And then we had put, in fact, forward a proposition to the new incoming super city. You did not have to develop a new weed management policy, because Auckland City had developed this incredibly comprehensive document, primarily authored by Dr. Mariel Watts. And this policy, which had been put in place as a result of the people of Tamaki Makaurau saying, we do not want chemicals anymore. And so there were, in fact, members of the public, Toxins Action Group, contractors, people who knew what they were talking about, actually on this committee that developed this new policy. That policy had worked. And the prime thing in there was that there should be all management on the roadsides and streetscapes had to be non-chemical. Didn't matter what the contractor decided to use, it had to be non-chemical. So we knew that this was under threat, and we proposed that as this policy was still perfect, it was working, that the super city adopted this Auckland City weed management policy. Turned down. They decided to develop their own. So for the next 3 years up until 2013, it was a series of meetings. They did do a proper, we had all sorts of public meetings. But it was absolutely clear from every single submission and recommendation that this, in fact, should be a non-chemical. It should be a non-chemical primarily policy. So the new policy was finally squeaked in. And from that day until today, we have been fighting to not only retain the non-chemical parts of the city, but to expand that non-chemical policy to the rest of the super city. And unfortunately, that hasn't happened. And so here we are, actually 7 years down the track, and we have had incursions into that policy. And I mean, there are complications in that it was the first city that contained council-controlled organisations. So whilst the Auckland Council retained weed and vegetation management within parks and reserves, it hived off the roadway to this new organisation, Auckland Transport. And from day one, Auckland Transport was telling everybody that it was 700-800% more expensive to use thermal technologies. So from day one, thermal technologies have been decried and downgraded, too expensive, too dangerous, you name it. And so we've come to this situation where 7 years down the track, this current policy is finally, they have decided to have a common policy to harmonize the policy throughout the city. This policy is harmonizing with the use of chemicals and fatty acids throughout the entire city.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.